Wale Reed, our guest in the Red Velvet Cake Studios this morning. His new book is memoir, Sing to Me, My Story of Making Music, Finding Magic, and Searching for Who's Next. We were off air. We were telling LA about Man Jams and Man Jam Fridays.
That sounds so much fun.
It's quite queer, but it's also fun.
Is it really?
No, no, queer, it's not.
It's a little uncomfortable.
Not on Friday.
It's a little uncomfortable.
Don't listen to her. Don't listen. Don't make eye contact with her.
But do they have a lady jam? Like,
no.
All jams are lady jams. We don't.
Yeah, ladies can listen to anything.
You ain't get a special day. No.
His name is in the jingle. We go with it.
But your song by Whitney, I'm Your Baby Tonight.
Yes.
Is the number one man jam among Tom Joyner Morning Show male listeners. Yes.
The irony is that it was written by two guys.
Yeah.
Right? See, it makes sense.
See? Uh-huh. Yeah.
It makes sense.
Much so better they caught
feel
something. Much
better. Feel better, right?
Yeah.
Feel much
no judging.
Better.
No judging.
You know,
the definition
too,
right? of a man jam is that's a song that a man should not get excited about singing.
Right.
Except when he's alone.
Right.
And
windows rolled up.
Shades down.
Not a chance of anybody catching you.
Right.
The family's in a foreign country.
Right. So what's your man jam?
Windows up, family in a foreign country. No chance of anybody walking in. Right.
Right.
I'm
right.
safe. No judgment.
Right. No judgment.
None. No judgment. Right.
Aretha Franklin, Dr. Feelgood.
I don't want nobody.
I don't want nobody.
Filling me up with all of them pills.
That's right.
I got me a man named Dr. Feelgood. Sing it. Sing it, LA.
I'm not singing it. It's not. It's Thursday.
You're right. I almost got you.
We'll
revisit that tomorrow.
Okay.
I will. I'll play that for you tomorrow.
Come on back in tomorrow. And let's see you have a part in the man jam.
You can't watch. That's the whole point of it.
No, you can't watch.
Because I know you're going to judge. Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm a judge.
And we have man dance, and there's no YouTube videos of us man dancing ever. And we go out in public, and we do a remote broadcast on Friday.
We will not man dance.
That sounds fun. Just don't play dress up when you're doing it. That's a problem.
Nah, we're judging then.
Then we're judging.
Well, there's Jay. LA said,
start with chapter 5. Yeah. And then go back.
Yeah.
Chapter five talks about what, LA?
That talks about my ex, Pebbles, right? And how we met, how we fell in love, and how we built, you know, business together. Mm-hmm. It was pretty incredible.
Sybil was talking earlier in the first hour how she loved the way you defended your ex through all that TLC
the way you,
biopic.
You really... protect her, and because she was pilloried, and it was just unbelievable. And in this day and age, I must say, to have somebody really look out for their woman like that,
or
their ex in this case.
You know what? I defend the truth, honestly. That's what I really stand behind. Mm-hmm. And you know, if I thought that she was wrong, I would say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it was circumstantial, and she took a lot of heat. They were all kids. They were all very young. I mean, TLC was very young. She was very young. The truth is that no one had enough power to take advantage of anybody.
Right.
The people that had the power lived in New York, right?
Right.
As we were record people. We were songwriters and producers and artists, right? So we didn't have the power. No one had the power to do anything wrong to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like she got a check and didn't give it to them.
Right.
Where was she going to get it from, you know, at that point, you know? So I didn't like that. I love TLC, by the way, and I think that they're one of the greatest girl groups ever.
Yeah.
So unique, and I really miss Left Eye.
Yeah, that was really powerful when that came to you.
Yeah, so it was very difficult for me because, you know, I was married, but I loved this band, this group, and they were the first big group on my label.
Mm-hmm.
So to watch this all unfold was like, I was in the middle, and it was the most difficult place to be. Because I had to defend everybody and take care of everybody. And I grew up. That's when I really grew up.
Yeah. Why did you and Pebbles break up?
It ran its course. The relationship, it really ran its course. You know, it happens. You know, and she moved on, I moved on. But we're still friends, and we have a beautiful
she
son. Can't
you listen to that man jam? You think that did it?
She caught me listening to the man jam. She was done.
Get out of here with that.
And it wasn't even her song.
don't listen to a man, Jim. You listen to me.
I have to say,
you need to be singing Mercedes Boy.
No, I'm kidding. Mercedes Boy should be your man jam.
No, when we go, when we go out karaoke in LA, Mercedes Boy and Girlfriend by Pebbles is our karaoke song.
Those
she was the best.
She was really good. Really good.
She set the stage for everybody after her.
I used to think she wrote Mercedes Boy for me. And I only later found out it wasn't me.
Oh, really?
Sort of like Carly.
She never
Simon.
Said it was me either. I just said, oh, that must be me.
It's got to be.
That's got to be me.
And she probably said, yeah, baby, sure, whatever.
I never even asked, but I just assumed. Like, wrong.
What did you leave out when you were writing this book? Or can you even talk about it?
You know what I did in writing the book? It was me sort of poking fun at myself, right? And self-deprecation. Mm-hmm. So I left out anything that was disparaging against any other artist that I worked with, mm-hmm. right? I don't tell their secrets. Mm-hmm. I tell how I felt during certain times. Right. I tell how I felt during the Whitney era or any of the artists, but what I don't do is disparage them, right? Mm. So those are the things that I absolutely would not do.
And you take responsibility for some things that did not go right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah absolutely. Because that's to me being honest, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I live in truth.
When a person comes before you who's an aspiring musician or songwriter, what kind of advice can you give them?
I give all kinds of, depending on what it is. Usually my first advice is to continue to grow, continue to try to hone in on your craft and become great. Don't assume that because you have a hit record or that you have some money that you've completely grown, that you're done growing. So growth is important. And, mm-hmm. and I talk about that a lot when mm-hmm. I talk to artists, like, what are you doing to be better at what you do? Like, how do you improve?
Could you do your own X Factor? Could you do that kind of thing just as L.A. doing it?
A talent show?
Yeah.
I'd rather do auditions in my office,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And that's because I like the kind of people that sign up for X Factor are very different than the kind of artists
that show up
in my office mm-hmm. or show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're very different.
Yeah.
Like, I love Prince, right? I don't think an artist like Prince would show up with his guitar and do Purple Rain. You know.
There's so many great stories in this book, and there's so much that you share. I want to thank you for the book.
You got any radio stories in that book?
Let me see. Radio stories. Yeah, I got a couple of radio stories.
Because you love radio.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
No, I love radio.
You and Faith, you all love radio, and I love the fact that you love radio.
Yeah, we love radio.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you.
The last thing I want to say is, we have all these great music platforms, right? But there's nothing better than radio. What's better than hearing your music on the radio?
That's
right.
Come on.
That's right. Huggy next. Thanks, L.A. L.A.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, everybody.